makers of Bluebonnet Margarine and Tenderleaf Tea present The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, Mr. James Mason, Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarcos, Al Goodman, his orchestra, and Kenny Delmar. Here's one of today's shopping problems easily solved. Just remember this.
If you're worried because your children aren't eating enough vegetables, because you realize how important vegetables are in a well-rounded diet, listen carefully. You can now give your children the goodness of 8 different vegetables in a delicious drink they'll love. Just give them V8 vegetable juices. V8 is one of the most enticing drinks that's ever been concocted. And here's the important thing. Every tempting sip of V8 contains the goodness from 8 different vegetables. Tomatoes and beets of the red variety, lettuce, spinach, watercress, parsley, and celery of the leafy green variety, carrots of the yellow variety. Thus, when you serve V8, your children get both the goodness and variety of 8 different vegetables. Get V8 vegetable juices tomorrow. Give it to your children for lunch, dinner, between meals. They'll love V8, and it's really good for them.
Ladies and gentlemen, statistics show that today American colleges are crowded worse than ever before. Tonight we present a man who never went to college, and he still has no class. He's Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. At Portland, I heard your news scoop at the opening of the program there about the colleges being jammed.
Oh, Mama says it's a good sign.
Colleges being crowded is a good sign?
Mama says if enough people go to college,
they'll get smart.
Everybody will know what Philip Morris smokers know.
You really? You mean in just the 4 years you could acquire that?
Huh?
Say, I wonder how many packs of Philip Morris's you have to smoke before you know it all. Well, Portland, I should have quit when there was nothing going on. Well, Portland, apart from food conservation, what is in the news this week?
Somebody invented a meat substitute. It's called a Truman Burger.
Oh, I saw that. A Truman Burger. I saw that.
I wonder how they make a Truman Burger.
Well, I... Don't let this get out, but I got the recipe from Charlie Luckman. This is the recipe for the Truman Burger. The president puts 2 slices of bread on the piano, and then he plays 1 meatball.
Funny. Today, food is so important.
What's funny?
Well, they used to throw it at actors.
Well, that's what chased Jack Benny out of vaudeville, you know.
Who?
When they started to can it.
Speaking of Jack reminds me, did you hear Jack Parr this week?
You mean the mad, mad thing?
Uh-huh. He said you were so old, Boy Scouts had to help you across the street.
Well, I hope that got a better laugh on Pa's program where he could...
He said you were mad at the younger generation.
Well, Brother Pa may be a member of the younger generation, Portland, but he's telling the older generation's jokes. But enough about the male Joan Davis. This is getting to sound... You know, the East may fight the West before this. This is getting to sound as though the program was coming from another network, which it may any minute, the way it looks. I think I had better start for Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, this week, as you may have read, the Better Business Bureau is completing its 25th year of service. Thousands of cases of fraud in real estate, stocks, and other get-rich-quick schemes have been prosecuted. And so our question tonight is, have you ever been swindled by a disciple of sharp practice?
Shall we go?
As the man said when his wife grabbed his money at the racetrack, you bet. Here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Senator Claghorn's gavel is on the front steps. I guess he doesn't give a rap tonight. Well, let's knock.
Who is it? I say, who is it calling on old Senator Claghorn? Oh, it's you,
well,
son.
Senator.
Speak up, son. I gotta hop to it. I'm busier than a pump handle during a temperance picnic.
You?
I'm writing a book.
Writing a book?
Well, Senator Wiley of Wisconsin wrote a book called Laughing with Congress.
Yes?
My book's called Chuckling with Claghorn.
Chuckling with Claghorn.
I got one joke in my book. It's about the farmer. His land was so poor, he had to spread it with fertilizer before he could raise a fuss on it.
Well, you mean that?
That's a belly whopper, son.
Well,
stop hooting and hollering.
Yeah?
Lean against something and watch your buttons pop.
Now, wait a minute. Look, Senator, about this fraud business, have you ever been swindled?
Well, son, back in 42, I was rooked to a fare-thee-well by the slickest flim-flamming Tom Pepper that ever wore sideburns and bear grease on his hair.
Well, how... This is one man you're describing now. How did he cheat you, Senator?
I was running for office. This thimble rigger says, Claghorn, if you want to get in, I'm your man.
He could fix the election?
I had a ballot box with a fire going in it and built-in votes.
A fire?
As they was deposited in the ballot box, a fire burned up all the other candidates' votes.
And the built-in votes?
They was all for me.
You couldn't lose.
I was going in like Happy Chandler at a ball game.
Oh, fine.
I bought 200 ballot boxes with the built-in votes from this jackleg.
Yes?
The day of the election, something went wrong.
With your fake ballot boxes, you didn't go in?
I went in, son.
Yes?
I went in for 30 days. So long. So long, Eddie.
Well, that probably explains the senator's pallor. Well, I wonder if Mr. Moody's still up.
Howdy, Bob.
Tell me, Mr. Moody, have you ever been the victim of a fraud?
Why, only once.
What happened?
Well, one time I had to go up to New York to buy some new sport jackets for my scarecrows. Well, I was gimping up Broadway with a big wad of money in my shoe.
Uh-huh.
And a fellow wearing a checkered suit and a jazz bow tie, he pulled me into a doorway.
I see.
He says, Charlie, how'd you like to have security in your old age?
Security, huh?
He says, Charlie, how'd you like to own your own toll bridge?
Your own toll bridge?
When they're coming across, he says, Charlie, they'll be coming across for you.
You... You fell for it?
Yeah. I took off my shoe and I give that oily cuss all my money.
For nothing?
Well, he give me a blue uniform, a whistle, a rocking chair, and a collapsible turnstile.
A turnstile, eh?
Took me to a bridge. It was uptown, 175 streets.
170... Why, that's the George Washington Bridge.
Named for president.
Yes, it was.
I set up my turnstile, sat back in my rocking chair, and started blowing my whistle to collect my tolls.
What happened?
Why, cars kept shooting by me. Nobody stopped to pay nothing.
You were on the New York side?
Yes, yes.
What did you do?
Well, when I closed up my turnstile for lunch, I walked to the other end of the bridge.
Uh-huh.
And I seen right away what the trouble was.
Well, what was the trouble?
Three fellas with turnstiles at the other end was collecting all the tolls.
At the Jersey end?
And it only goes to prove...
To prove what?
If you're thinking of opening a toll bridge across the Hudson...
Yes?
Don't open up on the New York side.
You mean the money? The money is all at the other end?
Yeah. People will pay anything to get out of Jersey. So long, Bob.
Well, Titus has something there, and he's sure welcome to it. Well, let's try this next door.
Kiddo?
Mrs. Nussbaum, have you ever been involved in a swindle?
Only once.
Uh-huh.
Like a greenhorn, I'm getting hoodwinked.
Well, how?
I'm seeing advertised a contest.
Uh-huh.
Write a jingle, win a cash prize.
Oh, do you write music, do you?
Mostly a ballad.
Oh, what? What are some of your ballads?
It shouldn't be nothing fancy. Just a little grass shack on Delancey.
I see.
I am sending you best wishes with this little dish of knishes.
Very good.
And then I wrote...
Then you wrote?
A herring, a hacienda, and you.
Well, that's not... Tell me, what about this jingle contest?
I am writing... Remember the letters F and E for Faffle, Noodles, and Epstein's Tea. Lindy's Restaurant saves all three. Faffle's, Noodles, and Epstein's Tea.
Tell me, what happened when you mailed in your jingle?
Monkey business is ensuing. My jingle they are taking.
Someone stole it?
They are altering abyssal.
Well, how do you know?
Tonight I'm turning on my radio, I'm hearing. Remember the letters F and E for flavor, nutrition, economy.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, why, that's a direct steal. What program was it?
Who knows? Just as I'm listening, you are knocking on my door, thank you.
That brings us to the little shanty at the end of the alley.
How do you do?
Mr. Cassidy, you look tired.
Oh, I was up all night at the UN. I talked with Vyshinsky for 8 hours.
What could you possibly talk to Vyshinsky about?
Oh, we had one thing in common.
One thing?
I couldn't understand Vyshinsky.
And?
Vyshinsky couldn't understand me.
Well, tell me, Ajax, have you ever been the victim of a hoax or a swindle?
Well, no, not personally, me boy. But a friend of mine was homogenized through the mail.
Homogenized?
The milk of human kindness was soured in his veins.
Who was this friend?
Dr. Prentice McGee, the famous surgeon.
Oh, I've heard of him. What happened?
Well, a nefarious operator of a bucket shop in Rockville Center.
Yes?
He sold Dr. McGee, sight unseen, a Texas oil well.
Well, where did the swindle come in?
Well, the minute Dr. McGee bought the oil well, he started receiving urgent telegrams collect from Texas.
Important messages?
Oh, the first one said, send $2,000, Derek fell down.
The next?
Send $3,000, drill is bent.
And then?
Looks like a gusher. Send $5,000. Need battles.
Well, after the doctor sent all this money for his well, what happened?
With the suddenness of a crescendo, the telegram stopped.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, the doctor called in the FBI.
Yes?
The well was non-existent.
So the doctor lost $10,000 in the phony well.
Oh, sure, it served him right.
How come?
The doctor should take care of the sick and let the well alone. Good morning.
To do, we turn to greet the five DeMarco sisters, ably abetted by Maestro Al Goodman. The DeMarco sing Kate. Girl?
How much longer must he wait, Kate, till you let him know his fate? Hey, Kate! The sun's down, the moon's out, there's no one inside. My question need answer.
Tonight is the night.
At 9 o'clock.
You know you had a date, Kate.
He's been here since half past eight, Kate. He came a little bit early, just couldn't wait. Has he come too early, too late?
Gentlemen, a few hints for assorted weather.
Rain or shine the year round, the all-purpose, always appropriate beverage is delicious Tenderleaf tea. And the way to get even more pleasure from it is in Tenderleaf tea balls. That's why Tenderleaf tea balls outsell all other kinds. They are America's favorites because they are better in every way. The best part of it is that all these advantages are so practical in daily use in your home. The flavor of the tea comes first, of course. And that's famous for flavor Tenderleaf brand tea. Richer, more fragrant,
more delicious. The crisp, clean, white individual packets are tasteless filter paper that gives you convenience, efficiency, ease in serving, and flawless, crystal clear tea in your cup, filtered as it's made. Keep a supply of these better tea balls on hand for every occasion, for family meals, for guests, and especially for those dark blue days when you need quick comfort in a hurry. One Tenderleaf tea ball in your cup, boiling water, and there you are. Yes, for every good reason, ask for Tenderleaf brand tea ball.
That was just a sample of Almost Like Being in Love, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his UN orchestra. UN meaning Union Nudniks. Portland.
Yes?
Will you keep things going until they get the horses set up on the Manhattan merry-go-round? Where's my beret and my bamboo cane?
Are you going out?
Yes, I have to run over to see James Mason. I've written a movie for Mr. Mason. You know, it may be his first American picture.
How did you ever get James Mason to go into your picture?
Well, if you won't let this get out, I'll tell you. Last Tuesday, I finished writing my scenario, and I started over to the Mason apartment. This must be the place. I guess Mr. Mason is at home, too. This sign on the door says, Odd Man In. Well, I'll knock, see what happens.
Hello, Fred.
Well, James Mason. James, I haven't seen you since you were on my program last June. What have you been up to?
Well, I spent a very nice summer out on the island.
On the island? Long Island?
Coney Island.
You spent the entire summer at Coney Island?
Yes, it was thrilling. Thousands of people milling around on the boardwalk. Millions of people sitting on the sand and on each other.
Did you go into the water?
They have water there?
Oh, yes.
I must tell my wife. She will be surprised.
Oh, yes. Some Sundays at Coney Island, it's so crowded the tide can't even come in. The tide has to go over to Far Rockaway and come in twice. But tell me, what else have you been doing?
I attended the World Series.
An Englishman at the World Series? Did you like it?
Yeah, I've never had such music in all my life.
Music?
Yes, Guy Lombardo's orchestra, excellent. And the way that Lucy Munro sang your national anthem, it brought me to my feet.
It did, really? What happened after Lucy finished singing?
Oh, a lot of chaps in bloomers started running around. There was no more music, so I went home.
Well, tell me, while you were in the park, did you try one of our American hot dogs at the park?
No, no. To me, a hot dog on a roll looks like an Indian's finger lying in state.
Didn't you eat anything at the World Series?
As I was leaving the park, the whole Brooklyn crowd was yelling, Cookie.
Cookie, and you didn't turn back?
I never eat dessert, old boy.
Well, James, I'll tell you why I'm here. Now, you haven't been working lately, have you?
No, not in pictures, but I've been on several radio programs.
Oh, really? What programs?
Well, I appeared on Take It or Leave It.
Well, how did you make out?
Just as I was about to try for the $64...
Yes?
Some chap in the audience shouted, You'll regret it.
You tried for the $64?
Yes.
And what happened?
That chap in the audience was correct.
You regretted it?
I also regretted the giant jackpot.
You regretted the jackpot? Tell me, were you on any other programs?
I'm going to be on another program this week.
Oh, with Jack Eigen?
No, I haven't. I haven't come to that yet. Yeah. It's a little thing called Information Please.
Oh.
I'm worried about answering those questions.
Oh, it's nothing, James. I've been on Information Please 10 times, and I don't know anything.
Yeah, but with me, it's different, Fred.
Different how?
I'm stupid.
Well, look, James, if you want to be able to answer every question on that program, why don't you try my system?
What's your system, Fred?
When I'm on Information Please, I go to the studio 10 minutes early. I walk in, hang up my hat, go over to the guest table, sit down in a big chair, lean over to John Kieran, and I say, John, what do you know? Well, by the time John Kieran gets through telling you what he knows, you can't miss a thing on that program.
Thanks, Fred. I'll try that.
Well, now let's get down to business, James. I have written a picture for you.
Now, I'm only good in certain types of stories, Fred.
Well, I sense that, James, and my picture is definitely for you. It will be bigger than I Married a Zombie. Ah.
What's the story about, Fred?
Well, the picture opens with a fanfare.
J. Arthur Allen Pictures Limited presents James Mason in
The Perfect Crime.
I am Norbert Nottingham, known to Scotland Yard as Nobby the Narc. Sitting here in Old Bailey waiting to be hanged, I cursed the fate that sealed my doom. I had planned the perfect crime. Something went wrong. What? That day at home, after I'd worked out my crime in detail, I rang for my faithful houseboy, Chung.
Oh, you ring of Mr. Nottingham?
Yes, Chung. Sir Stafford Pipps, the inventor, will be here any minute.
Oh, very good.
When he comes, Chung, I want you to go out into the garden and peek through the window.
Oh, very good.
Chung, I'm going to kill Sir Stafford. When the police arrive, you will be grilled. I want you to say that you saw Sir Stafford come in, place a paper on the table, take out a gun, and shoot himself. Do you understand?
Oh, Chung, recap. Chung go outside, peek in the window. Please to grill Chung. Chung say, Sir Stafford put paper on desk, take out gun and shoot self.
You won't forget.
Not a China month of 10.
My alibi was perfect. I knew I could depend on Chung. There was that little affair at Limehouse he'd rather I didn't mention. Three o'clock. Sir Stafford would soon arrive. He was bringing the plans of an invention that would make me the richest man in the world. Someone was at the door. It was Sir Stafford.
I'll open the door, Mr. Nottingham.
Cat! I thought it was the maid's day off. It was too late to turn back. I had to commit the perfect crime.
And now, King Sir Stafford Pipps.
Oh, Nobby, old fig.
Sir Stafford, old prune. Have you brought the plans?
Righto. This is my greatest invention. Here are the plans.
I'll take those plans, Sir Stafford.
I say, Nobby, put down the gun! Ah!
The perfect crime had been committed. The plans were mine. Quickly wiping off my fingerprints, I placed the gun in Sir Stafford's hand. The maid opened the door.
Mr. Nottingham, I heard a shot.
I know.
Blimey, it's Sir Stafford.
It's suicide. You better call the police.
Righto.
I chuckled as I heard the maid on the telephone.
Operator, help! Police, suicide!
I laughed as I heard the police on my radio.
Summoning all vehicles. Summoning all vehicles. Calling Detective One Long Pan. Suicide at Nottingham Residence. Calling One Long Pan.
Oh, greetings and shulamalakam, kiddie. Detective One Long Pan, Oriental Dick Patrice on job. Chababa, chababa, chababa. Long, long pan, sure to get your lover. Chababa, chababa, long pan and good voice tonight. Make Perry Como take Bromo. Long pan.
I say, old boy, will you stop that singing?
Who are you, little man?
I am Norbert Nottingham.
What do you do here, Mr. Norbert Nottingham?
I live here.
Very good. You have $2 you like to try for four?
This is ridiculous.
You look at it. Oh, look at it. Long pan solve crime in no time. What is confidentially what is Clive?
Sir Stafford Pipps has been shot.
Very good. Long pan alias you, Mr. Norbert Nottingham, for shooting Sir Stafford Nips.
Sir Stafford shot himself, you nincompoop. He committed suicide.
Suicide. Likely story.
Oh, Mr. Nottingham.
Oh, ho, lady in the loom. Long pan, Cherche la flemme.
Don't be silly. This is only my maid, Martha.
You come a little closer, baby. Long pan give you fast frisk.
Take your hands off me. You ain't no osteopath.
You fess up, Martha. What happened?
I was in the kitchen cleaning a bloater. I was just reaching for the bloater's appendix when I heard a shot.
Very good, very good.
I ran into the study. Sir Stafford's deader than me bloater. He's done himself then.
Precisely. Now, can I show you to the door, Long Pan?
Not so fast, Mr. Nottingham. Long Pan first examine body. Oh-ho, you see, in Sir Stafford's hand...
What?
A la-wallower. A la-wallower, 5-4. You bet, Long Pan arrest you again, Mr. Solberg Nottingham, for murder, Sir Stafford Hoosier.
But I tell you, I didn't kill him. I can produce an eyewitness.
Who is eyewitness?
My houseboy, Chung, he saw everything.
Oh, you lying, Mr. Nottingham?
Oh-ho, China boy, Lunchman.
Oh, before...
I told you I had a perfect alibi, Long Pan.
Long Pan not entirely convinced. Story sound like bloater, practically fishy.
What did Chung say?
Chung say you sent him out to tend the garden.
That's right. I have two meat-eating plants. I told Chung to put napkins on the plants before he served their lamb chops.
Very good. Chung, you in garden? What you see in garden?
Chung peek through window, so Stafford come in a study.
Sir Stafford, very good.
So Stafford put paper on this.
Very good.
So Stafford pull out gun and committed suicide.
There's my alibi, Long Pan.
Holy smoke. Chung, you see plenty through window.
Oh, you bet.
Oh, Chung, some kiddo peeking Tom. Chung, Long Pan make had lib. Long Pan funny bunny should be on radio. Get the big hooper. Big hooper. Okay. Break it up. Pipe down, boy. Joke over, boy.
What's wrong, Long Pan?
Long Pan, unless you, Mr. Nottingham, third and final time for murder, Sir Stafford Hips.
But why should I kill Sir Stafford?
This plan on a table. Long Pan, only now, just now, catch on. You see, plan X equal Y plus double root divide by Z multiply hypotenuse plug in wall. You see, plan for super duper a magnet.
Dad, you understand it?
Long Pan, no schmoe. Long... Long Pan graduate CCNY. Magna cum laundry. Long Pan fly by night beta kappa. You face up. Motive magnet.
Yes. It was to be the biggest magnet in the whole world.
Very good.
Pointed from England in the direction of the United States, the magnet would have drawn all the gold out of Fort Knox.
Holy smoke. Holy smoke.
Sir Stafford was giving it to Ernie Bevan for Christmas.
How about you, Mr. Nottingham? You kill Sir Stafford to use magna catch him gold yourself. You plan, you Long Pan catch you fess up.
But what about my alibi? Chung saw everything through the window.
Chung say nothing. Alibi phony baloney.
You mean?
On window is Venetian, you see, Venetian blind. To look through Venetian blind must see through straight crack.
But Chung...
Chung China boy. China boy eyes slant. Impossible with slanting eyes to look through straight crack in Venetian blind.
I give up, Long Pan. You're too much for me.
Confucius say man who use Venetian blind for alibi, shady character. Confucius spell backward, Joe Miller. Oh, ho, Long Pan, hot tonight. Can you top this? Long Pan, oh, ho, Long Pan. Before I remind you to remember Blue Bonnet Margin and Tenderleaf Tea on your shopping days, I want to thank Mr. James Mason for his visit tonight. Next week, our guest will be our good friend, Jack Haley. Thank you and good night. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.